Thessalonians chapter 5 in your Bibles this morning. Notice, if you would, verse number 1, the Bible says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." Now, if we could use one word to describe the Thessalonian epistles, or the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, it would be the word anticipation. We recognize that these two books, that each chapter has within it some reference to an aspect of the Lord's return, of His coming again, His second coming. Now, 1 Thessalonians has to do with the rapture, His coming in the clouds in the air for all of those who belong to Him, where He'll snatch or catch us out to heaven. When you come to 2 Thessalonians, it has to do with the second aspect of the Lord's return, His coming to the earth. Now, when you come to chapter 5, Paul is answering questions. Timothy had went to check on the welfare of this infant church, and he comes back to Paul and he says, "Paul, they're not just surviving, they're thriving. They're experiencing persecution, they're experiencing loss of jobs and persecution from the community and the city around them. But listen, Paul, they're not just holding on by a thread, they are thriving in their newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul, they have some questions." And so Paul begins to answer those questions. Now, we're not told the questions, they're inferred from how the Holy Spirit inspires him in writing these letters to answer the questions. So we find that they've asked him two questions about end time events. Question number one is this: what will happen to our loved ones who have died and go to heaven before the Lord Jesus comes for us in the rapture? And then he answers that in chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We have the most definitive place in the Bible that deals with the coming of the Lord for His own. And there Paul assures these new believers that those of their loved ones who have saved and died, and they went on prior to, they're not going to miss this event. That when Jesus comes, He's going to bring them back with Him. He'll reunite their soul with a resurrected body. We'll all, the living's going to be changed, and every believer, when Jesus comes in the air, is going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever, the Bible says, be with the Lord. And so he answers that question. But then we have question number two. The second question, I believe, is a question that many people have in our day. Now they said, "Paul, when Jesus comes, will our loved ones who have died miss the rapture that are saved?" And he says, no. He's going to come and we're going to be caught up together, everybody, to be with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then question number two, Paul, when's He coming? You know what, there's a whole lot of people today that they're trying to figure out when Jesus is going to come. I mean, books have been written, and throughout time, men have tried to search the Scriptures and look at history and look at the signs around them and try to have some kind of definitive statement so that they could say that Jesus is coming on this particular day. Now, I believe that the Thessalonian believers, their motive is right. Here's what they were thinking, Paul. If I knew when the Lord was coming, I'd be ready. But you know what? Really, that's not the case. You're going to find as believers, if we knew when the Lord was coming, listen, number one, if we knew He's coming in the next 5 minutes, we'd have panic and pandemonium, people running to the altar. By the way, you know what? There might ought to be a little panic in some folks' heart, and some people need to run to the altar, because He could come at any time, amen? The other thing, if Paul said, "Oh, He's going to come 2,000 years from now," you know what these believers would do? Hey, they'd sit back and relax. They'd say, well, he's not coming in my lifetime. Why do I need to be concerned about it? And so it's not going to affect me. So you know what God said? God said, I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming. And that's what Paul answers and deals with. You know what Paul's going to say? He's going to say, listen, look at verse number 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now that word times means fixed fixed time or a special occasion. It's what we would call dates. He would say, but of the dates and seasons, the epochs, the marked features that have to do with that event, what you and I would call signs. But of the dates and the signs, you have no need that I write unto you. Paul said, it's not necessary for me to write to you about this matter, verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly. That word know means to fully know. The word perfectly means with accuracy or precision. Paul's saying, in other words, listen, I don't need to write about this to you because I've already shared it with you, that nobody knows the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come. By the way, do you know what? Paul's just echoing what Jesus has already said. Because when he resurrected, the disciples said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? Are you at this time going to come back and do everything that you promised to Israel? You know what Jesus said, Acts 1:7? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, the dates or the signs which the Father hath put in His own power. Matthew 24:36, Jesus said this, but of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven. Listen, can I tell you, it's not that no man knows, no angel knows when He's going to come. But my Father only. He said, in such an hour as you think not. So preacher, when is the Lord coming? And you know what the answer is? I don't know, and you don't know, and nobody else knows. Somebody wrote this. They said, being spiritually prepared for the return of Christ does not involve date setting, clock watching, or sign seeking. God has chosen not to reveal the specific time of end time events so that all believers of all ages will live in constant anticipation of them. Paul's saying to that generation of believers as well as to us today, listen, it's not important for you to know the times and seasons. What is important is that you be ready. And can I tell you the message of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning is that we need to be ready when the Lord comes because He could come at any moment. Amen? Now I want you to notice, if you would, first of all, Paul says, be ready, for there is a day that is coming. There is a day that is coming. Look, if you would, verse number 2. He says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now I want you to underline that phrase, day of the Lord. You know what? There are three future days that every Christian should be familiar with. 3 days that every Christian should know. Now, it's important to remember that a day in prophetic scripture doesn't always or necessarily refer to a 24-hour period. What you and I would know is a solar day, 24 hours. Many times it refers to an event or a series of events that span an extended period of time. So a day in the Bible can mean a 24-hour day, like in the Genesis account of creation. Or it could mean an extended period of time, like what we're going to understand today, as it talks about the day of the Lord. You see, a prophetic day oftentimes differs from a calendar day. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because the context is going to determine that, okay? Whether it's a 24-hour day or an extended period of time. It could be a moment of time, an instance like the rapture. Or it could be an extended period of time like the day of the Lord. Now, there's 3 days every Christian ought to know in the Bible. Notice, if you would, first of all, there is the day of Christ. The day of Christ. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Would you go there? Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Now, I tell you what I purposely done. I have purposely whittled down this message so that we could spend some time in the Bible together looking at some of these things I want to talk to you about. Look at Philippians 1, 6. I could just quote it and move on, but I want you to see it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. All right, Luke, notice what Paul says. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Preacher, what is that day? That day is an event that Paul's already talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. It is a phrase that occurs 6 times in the New Testament, and it always refers to the coming of the Lord for His own in the rapture that we preached on just a couple weeks ago, when Jesus will come in the air and snatch away all those who belong to Him, and the Bible said will ever be with the Lord. Lord. And that event is known in the Bible as the Day of Christ. That's the day when Jesus comes for His bride. That's when He comes for those who belong to Him. And hey, I'll tell you something today. You don't want to miss that day. Amen? You need to be ready. But then, number two, there's a second day, and that's called the Day of God. The Day of God. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, we're coming back 1 Thessalonians 5, so you need to stick your finger there or something. That's why God gave you extra fingers, just so you can put them in the Bible while the preacher's preaching and you don't lose your place. 1 Peter, turn your Bible 2 Peter chapter number 3. All right, and you say, preacher, I'm not getting there quite as quick as you are. If you'll just jot them down, you can look them up a little bit later. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12. We're going to see this day called the Day of God. Now, these are prophetic days. They're events, okay? Now, the Day of Christ isn't a 24-hour day. It is a sudden second of time, moment of time, when the Savior all over the world can be snatched out and taken to glory, okay? But it's called the Day of Christ. That's when He comes for His own. That's when He comes for His bride, okay? Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I was excited on the day that I came for my bride. It didn't take us 24 hours to get married, okay? It took us about 10 minutes. You say, preacher, why? Because my granddaddy's fast. And it's lasted for almost 26 years. It might have lasted a little longer than 10 minutes, maybe. You say, preacher, how many songs did you have? None that I remember. I think we just come up to the altar, and my granddaddy was there, and her pastor at the time, and he read 1 Corinthians 13, her pastor did, and made a few comments. And my granddaddy got down to business and said, do you do it? And she said, you better. And so I did. And then she said, yeah, she said, I do. And she did. And so it's been done for 26 years. Amen. And so it was just a moment of time. It was 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. Okay. Now, we'd put a lot of energy up until that day. All right. And but it was just so we understand in the Bible when it talks about the Day of Christ, it was just a sudden moment of time. The Bible said in a moment. Just a moment of time. But now, here we're going to come to the Day of God. And you're going to find it's an extended period of time. You say, preacher, how long? It's called eternity. Look, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the Day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You know what verse 12 says? There's coming a day when this world, as we know it, will cease to exist. And it's not man's doing, it's God's. Verse 13, nevertheless, we the saved, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so the Day of God is the eternal state. It's that time when God will usher in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And Revelation 21 and 22 expands on that. And it's the Day of God. It's eternity. Okay? That's a long day, isn't it? One eternal day. The Day of God. That's when God's finished up all of His work that He began when He created it back on the day of when God said, let there be, and there was. Now, there's a third day, and I know I'm spending a lot of time here, but it's important that we know this, and that is the Day of the Lord. In between the Day of Christ, the rapture, and the Day of God is what we know in the Bible, an extended period of time known as, and Paul mentions it here, the Day of the Lord. Because he's already given them the teaching about the rapture. And then he's going to talk to you, saying, let me tell you what's going to happen after the rapture. Let me tell you what's getting ready to happen to this world. Let me let you in on God's plan for the world after you're gone. And church, can I tell you, when God takes us to heaven, He still has a plan for this world. And you know what it's called? Judgment. That's what it's called. Because you know what 2,000 years God's been doing? He's been reaching out in love. And He's been reaching out in grace. And He's been saying, whosoever will, let him come. And the world's been saying, we're not going to have you rule over us. And they've been rejecting Him. And God said, listen, you're living in a day of grace, but there's coming a day of judgment. Sure is. The Day of the Lord is an extended period of time beginning or right after the rapture. It doesn't really begin with it, but it sort of opens the door to it. And including the events of the tribulation period, which lasts about a 7 year period of Armageddon, and the battle of Armageddon, and the second coming of Jesus to the earth. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to give birth to, within this Day of the Lord, there's going to be judgment, but Paul doesn't deal with it right here. But out of that's going to come 1,000 years of blessing when Jesus Christ comes to this earth. And you know what? He's going to conclude it all up with the great white throne judgment, and then we're in eternity. And so one day gives way to the next. The day of Christ or the rapture will give way to the day of the Lord, that awful time of judgment on this earth known as the tribulation period, talked about in Revelation chapter 4, all the way to chapter 20, and then he's going to talk, or actually chapter 19, and then he's going to talk about how that the day of the Lord and its judgments and the second coming and the setting up of Christ and his kingdom will eventually usher in the third day, the day of God or eternity. And here Paul's there, primarily going to deal with the coming day of the Lord. And Paul's saying, listen, we're certain as to when that day's going to come, but we're not certain. We're certain it's going to come, but we're uncertain when it's going to come, but we're certain and we're sure that it will come. You know what? One day there's going to come a time when God, as one preacher said, is going to place the period, the last period, at the end of the last chapter, at the end of the last paragraph, at the end of the last sentence of human history, because all of history is His story. Now notice what Paul says. We're talking about that there's a day that's coming. I want you to see the surety of it. Look again at verse number 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said, for yourselves know perfectly, with exact assurance. All right? No doubt. Christian, listen, there should be no doubt that this is what's going to take place because God said it. Paul said, I've shared it with you, and I'm going to write to you about it. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now this phrase, day of the Lord, is mentioned emphatically in the Scriptures 19 times in the Old Testament, 4 times in the New Testament, and alluded to in numerous other passages. So both the Old and New Testament warns us with an alarming assurance that this day is going to come. Now, I'm not going to look at all these verses, but I'm going to give them to you and you jot them down. Jot down Isaiah 13:6. Listen to what the Bible says. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Listen to Joel chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and verse 31. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Zephaniah chapter 1 verses 14 and 15. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jesus said, Matthew 24:21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Old Testament, New Testament, there is coming a day of wrath, and the Bible calls it the day of the Lord, and you and I better be ready. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 6. Your last book of the Bible. This should be the last time we turn in our Bible this morning in the message. Revelation chapter 6. But you know what I want you to perfectly know? I want you to know that the day of the Lord cometh. Look at Revelation chapter 6 and find verse number 15. The Bible says, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the den and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountain and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" You know what? Jesus was being interrogated by the Sanhedrin. And they were going to condemn him to death, and they were going to crucify him. And they were going to stay away with him. We'll not have this man rule over us. And here's what Jesus said. This is your hour and the power of darkness. You know what he was saying? This is your day, but my day's coming. You know what? The world's having its day. And you know what? They've been celebrating their day. And the world's been rejoicing in their day. And they've been saying for millennia, I'll not have this man rule over me. Away with it. I don't want... And you know what? Listen, that's their day. But I'm going to tell you, God's day's coming. But not only is there the surety of that day, I want you to notice next the secrecy of that day. Look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice he said in verse number 2, he said, it cometh as a thief in the night. He said, listen, I'm not going to tell you the day of our God said it's going to come as a thief. That means it's going to come suddenly and unexpectedly. You know, there's one thing about a thief. He doesn't call you up and say, send you a postcard in the mail. He doesn't say, hey, Wayne, I just want you to know, I'm going to rob your house tonight at 1 a.m. You be ready now, I'm coming. No, the thief doesn't do that. He waits till you're gone. He comes suddenly. He comes unexpectedly. And can I tell you, friend, listen, when Jesus comes, He doesn't tell you when He's coming. It's going to be like a thief in the night. He's going to come secretly, unexpectedly, without warning, in an hour you think not. And when He comes, millions of people will suddenly vanish from the earth. The Bible says it'll be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The world will not even realize it's happened until it happens, and the day of the Lord will be upon them. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, because I want you to notice the pronouns, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. You need to go through there and look at those pronouns that have to do with they. And then look down, if you would, verse number 4. But ye. You know what He's doing? He's making a division, a separation. He's separating those who are saved and those who are lost. Those who will go to heaven and those who will go to hell. Those who will experience grace and those who will experience wrath. It's going to come as a thief in the night, and they're not even going to know what's happened. And this day is going to be upon them. And why Jesus said, if you'd known what hour the thief is coming, you'd be ready. And you know what? If there was those in this building that maybe you've been sitting here and saying, you know what? I know I need to give my life to Jesus. I know I need to be saved. I know I need to get things right with God. I know I need to do that, but I've got time. And God's saying, listen, you don't know you have time. You need to be ready. Says Jesus could come at any moment, we're always to be ready. But not only want you to see the surety of it, not only want you to see the secrecy of it, I want you to see the severity of it. Look, He says, He cometh as a thief in the night. Look at verse number 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Do you realize what verses 2 and 3, both of them have the idea of surprise, whether it be, because notice what He's going to say. He says, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, you know what? When my wife became pregnant with Emily, we'd never been down this road before. Okay? She was our first. So you have these fake pains called, you know, false labor pains. Okay, so we would go to the doctor. We were anticipating. I mean, you know, when you're pregnant, you know, eventually you're going to have a baby. All right? You follow where I'm going now, okay? But when the real thing hits, it's sort of sudden. Sort of unexpected. I know, when after those false ones got over with, it was like nothing. It was like, honey, why can't you cooperate like otherwise cooperate with their husbands? Why do you want to wait 2 and 3? I don't know how long it was. It was an eternity, it seemed like to us, you know. I mean, she probably could smack me because she was the one having the baby and not me. And she was miserable, okay? But man, my bags were packed. I mean, we were ready, but we didn't know when this thing was going to happen. All right? I know my mama, she walked Lori to death. We rode over bumpy roads. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've done all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Suddenly, we sort of give up on it. We just thought, well, maybe, you know, we just give up on it. And then Lori went shopping with my mama. Phone rang. We better go to the hospital. This is serious business. Okay? It was sudden. But it was also unavoidable. Because when we're on the way to the hospital, we get about to the railroad tracks, and she looks at me with this serious look on her face, and she says, I don't think I can do this. And I said, now's a fine time to figure that out. I don't think we got a choice, honey. A thief. Now watch this. A thief is sudden and unexpected. You're not expecting the thief. All right, but when it comes to the labor pains, they are sudden and unavoidable. A baby's going to be born. And God says that when this event starts, it'll be unexpected by the world, but it'll also be unavoidable for the world. Whether you want to face it or not, friend, if Jesus comes and you're left, you'll face it. You can't avoid it. I'm sure in that moment that we were at the railroad tracks, if Lori could have avoided the next steps of what was going to happen, she would have avoided that. But she couldn't do it. And friend, listen, can I tell you, if you're without Jesus Christ this morning, you say, "Preacher, I want to avoid that day." The only way you'll avoid that day is to be ready today. And notice with me quickly. Notice he says in verse number 3, "For when they shall say, peace and safety." Now here's what's interesting. During the tribulation, the Antichrist, the coming man of sin that we'll meet in 2 Thessalonians 2 is going to come on the scene. But here's what the world's going to be saying. God is in His heaven. Everything's all right on earth. Men's going to live in peace as if the world's going to go on together, go on forever. But it's going to be a false peace. It's going to be a false security because judgment is coming. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, when the man of sin arises on the political scene, he's going to embark on a mission of peace, Revelation 6. He's going to sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel and nations around them, ensuring peace in the Middle East. And boy, suddenly, there's going to be, we got those old Christians out of the way, and we don't know where they went and how they got gone, but they're gone, and boy, everything in the world's going smooth and wonderful and good, and they're saying, "Peace, peace, peace." And God's saying, "I'm going to tell you something, there's not going to be any peace. Not going to be any." You see, he may be peace on his lips, but war's in his heart. And this man of sin that we're going to meet has dark plans in his hip pocket, and they're called world domination. And he's going to embark red horse on Revelation 6. He's going to embark on a mission of war that's going to bring about a genuine world war that will culminate in the Battle of Armageddon, bent on the destruction of the nation of Israel. All nations will come at that moment against Israel. And you know what, friend? The Bible said, hey, the world's going to say peace and safety, but during this 7 years as the Antichrist is carrying out His plan, God has His plan, and judgment after judgment after judgment is falling upon this earth. And friend, peace is going to suddenly turn to destruction. Notice he said, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape." You see, for many that day will be a glad day, but for others it's going to be a sad day. It's not going to be a triumph for the saved. Boy, when Jesus comes, a day of triumph, but for the unsaved, it will become a day of terror. The Bible describes this day, the day of the Lord, as a day of darkness, distress, and destruction. The Bible said the day of His wrath is come. It's like a wife, a woman in labor pains. They start off slow, and they start off mild. But the further you get down the road in this thing, the further the journey, the more intense, the more severe, the more... And friend, can I tell you that the day of the Lord is going to start off slow. But the further you get down the road, it's going to become more intense and more severe and more destructive as judgment falls. You see, there's going to come a day when the labor pains of sin will give birth to the judgment of God's wrath upon this world. And it's a sure thing. The day of grace will give way to the day of wrath, and there's no escape. Jesus said that day will be like Noah's day. Men were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, Jesus said, on the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. That day would be like Lot's day. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Men will be caught by surprise because they will not hear God's message or heed God's warning. Paul said to those believers, "You know perfectly well," but they don't know because they're not hearing what God says, because they don't want to heed what God says. And so the church, can I tell you, the question isn't when is the Lord coming? That's not the question. The question is, when He comes, are you ready? There's a quaint inscription on a gravestone in an old British cemetery near Windsor Castle. Here's what it says on that gravestone. Pause, my friend, as you walk by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, this is on a gravestone, so you will be. Prepare, my friend, to follow me. Somebody down the road added some lines, and here's what they wrote. To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went. Now, the reality of it is we're all going to go that way. You say, preacher, what if Jesus is coming 150 years from now? In 150 years from now, everybody in this room will have left planet Earth, will have died. The question is, are you ready? Because the most important preparation you'll make today is the preparation where you're going to be when you leave this life. Whether it be tomorrow, or 10 years, or 50 years, or 100 years. Because if Jesus doesn't come in your lifetime, friend, we'll all die, and we all need to be ready. Amen. And the question is, are you ready? Let's bow our heads in prayer.